I imagine many of you probably watched this particular Christmas traditional movie over the holidays. I know it is one of my father-in-law's favorite Christmas traditions, and that is to watch the silly movie that is Christmas Vacation. And if you've ever seen the ridiculous movie that is Christmas Vacation, you've watched probably till the end, and Clark has gone through a ton of stuff, and he is getting quite frustrated, and then he's expecting a giant check to show up to pay for the swimming pool, right, and all this exciting stuff, and it's supposed to be this big, great moment, and it shows up, and it's a membership to the Jelly of the Month Club, right? Like, that's, it's super exciting. And Clark loses it, right, in the movie. He just loses it. He hits a breaking point, and he just totally breaks down. We're starting a series called I Need a Breakthrough. I need a breakthrough, and I think we all need them because life is full, it seems like, of breakdowns. This is a series produced by one of our large sister churches in Atlanta, and I'm super glad they made it available to us as a Wesleyan church because the series is so applicable to us. The content is so applicable to us because life often feels like a seesaw, I think. How many of you have been on a seesaw at least once in your life? Yeah, quite a few of us. How many of you have been hurt while being on a seesaw? It should be the same number of hands, because if you're on a seesaw, you will get hurt, right? I mean, if you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you in 20 seconds. Watch this video. That's what happens whenever you're on a seesaw, right? And does life not feel like that sometimes? You're plugging along and then wham, faceplant, right? We have breakdowns. We get into marriage and it's fun and good and we're enjoying it, and then all of a sudden you get faceplanted. You're in your career and it feels so promising and you're loving it, and then something gets ugly at work. You get your finances under control. You're finally on a budget, but then something financially blows up. Spiritually, you feel like you're really growing. You're connecting. Your faith is alive and it feels good, and then your character sort of blows up your spiritual walk. You start another year by getting a handle on your, I think everybody might have made this resolution, your physical shape and your fitness. And then you get a month into it, and something blows it up. Life seems like it's full of breakdowns. But I think Paul is going to encourage us in Philippians, if you want to turn there ahead of time, chapter 3, that God has breakthroughs for us. Moments when he has more for us than just feeling broke down. And what we're going to do as we talk through the points I think Paul's going to make is we're going to hear a story of a guy named Ryan. He's a police officer now. He's in his 30s, but he had been through many breakdowns in his life. And he's going to be interviewed by his uncle, who's also a pastor, and we're going to hear his story, and it's going to hopefully help us relate to times in our life when we have felt broke down. And we have maybe even seen God break through, or we are hoping that he will help us break through. So as we listen and get to know Ryan quickly in the first segment of this interview, I want to encourage you to think, where have been my breakdowns in life? Have there been moments for me where it has felt like life has not gone the way I anticipated or hoped? So check out this video.
So let's talk about the early breakdowns, because you yourself have been on the other side of the law.
I've been in law enforcement, I would say, my whole life. Not always on the good side, unfortunately, but...
Let's start here. You dropped out of high school?
Yep.
Right?
Dropped out of high school. I was 17 years old. At the time, it seemed like the right thing to do.
I remember that going well with your dad, who is my brother. He was excited about that for you.
If you call that excitement, yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like any father. I don't think they want to ever hear those words out of their kid's mouth, but...
He had dreams for you, but then not long after that, he had a motorcycle accident.
Yep.
That added trauma to you and the family. He passed away.
Absolutely.
In that accident. Yep. Pretty rough on you.
2001, I was 19 years old. Lost, you know, it's hard to put together. I mean, when you lose your best friend, somebody that means so much to you, you know, it's hard to put the pieces together and... Yeah, I was lost. I life was rough. Yeah. Life was definitely rough. Made some bad. I'm not saying I made. It's not an excuse to make bad decisions, but in lieu of that, in lieu of his passing away, a lot of bad choices followed.
It helped encourage the direction you were already going.
Absolutely.
In a sense.
I would say absolutely.
And you've been in law enforcement all your life, is your joke, but that's because you ended up in jail for a period of time.
Yep.
How old were you when you ended up in jail?
I spent my 22nd birthday in jail. Mm-hmm. So I was 21 when I went in.
So life wasn't quite reaching the dream stage yet.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, if there's one thing you do have when you're incarcerated, it's time. And a lot of time to think about where you're at and where you want to be. And that's definitely not where I wanted to be.
So life has breakdowns. Moments where things don't go as we anticipated. The key in what Ryan said there was, I had a lot of time to think, and when I started realizing it, this isn't where I want to be. Where I am in life is not where I want to be. I've been broke down for a while. So the question maybe you need to write down somewhere is, are you where you want to be? If you start thinking of things like your walk with God, are you where you want to be? In your marriage, are you where you want to be? In your career, are you where you want to be? As a parent, as a child, in your relationships with friends, maybe if it gets more personal, in your character, are you where you want to be? In your attitude, are you where you want to be? In your knowledge of the Word of God, are you where you want to be? Being honest about the questions is the beginning of breakthrough. For Ryan, being in prison, being in that moment of having time to think and saying, this is not where I want to be, that became the moment where he could say, I need to seek God. Because there has to be more than this. So we want to turn to Philippians 3 because Paul's going to start to answer that question. He's going to start to describe what it looks like to have breakthrough, because Paul seems like he's in a place that he actually wants more. So we'll pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 3. In verse 10 of chapter 3, I want to know Christ. I'm going to stop before you even hardly get going. Do you find it fascinating that Paul would say that? I want to know Christ. We know Paul's story, don't we? I mean, he's the guy who got interrupted on the road to Damascus, who saw Christ, who was encountered by Christ, who has become sort of the lead apostle of the time, who has written many of the letters we have in the New Testament, and he's saying, I want to know Christ. That seems to not make a lot of sense, but I think somehow all of us get it. We immediately attach a word onto it. We say, yeah, he wants to know Christ more. Right? That's what we assume he means, and I think it is what he means. That's a great question for you at the beginning of the new year. Do you want to know Jesus more? There is more to know. If Paul, one of the lead apostles in the church, who is encouraging us spiritually, who has been given by the power of the Spirit, the prompting to write what we now consider Scripture, if he can learn more, surely we can. Surely we can. So he goes on to describe it. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting is what behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then a couple of verses later in 17, he says, join together in following my example. Do what I'm doing. This thing I am doing, you need to be doing it as well. I think Paul gives us briefly an anatomy of a breakthrough in our relationship with God and all that he has for us. The components are just three always, and I gave you a space if you want to write them on your bulletin and think about them over the week. They might be good for you to do so. They're just three simple things. There is always more. We must always forget and always forward. Always more, always forget, always forward. As I've thought back on my own life, as I remember conversations with people, it seems like when we have breakdowns, in life, we fail in one of these areas. We stop believing there could be anything more. There can't be anything more than what I've already experienced. I'm not even going to believe there could be. We don't forget what has passed, and we live chained by the shackles and the burdens of mistakes and things we've made in the past. Or we just stop moving forward. We quit. We don't press on. It's easy to say these things, and it's really challenging in moments of life to do them. So let's look at each one quickly. Always more. Paul regularly uses this analogy of sports. He's regularly using running the race or those kind of things. And he uses a race a little bit in this passage as well. There's something about athletes where they're never quite satisfied. Have you seen that in especially elite level athletes? It's like, oh, I ran the record or I broke the record, but I think I could do it a little faster. Oh, I did this, but I think I could lift a little more and be a little stronger. And they're always seeking the next goal, the next challenge, to be a little better, a little faster, a little stronger. There's almost like a level of discontent with just where they're at now. It's good that they've achieved what they've achieved, but there's a little bit of, I want more. And Paul is saying your spiritual life is something like that. That we should live spiritually like an athlete relates to his sport. That we'd be happy about progress, but we'd possess a level of discontent knowing there is more, a drive to know God more, a drive to serve Him more, a drive to be like Him more. Let me give you maybe two ways this plays out for us. There is, first of all, more of God. There is more of God. You have not tapped out in your understanding of God. Maybe you know that. There is tons to know. God is like an ocean that most of us will only ever just snorkel the surface of. And the more we discover, the more we feel like we don't know. God is huge. There is more of Him to learn. He is more majestic. He is more beautiful. He is more powerful. He is more wise than we have ever dreamed or begun to imagine. His love is more than you have ever thought. However much we have thought God loves us, however much we think He is wise, we are wrong. It's more. It's more. There is more of God, and He has more for you to know of Him. So the always more, firstly, is that there's always more to know and to grow in our understanding of God. But second, there's also more in you. You've never tapped out the growth that is in you. God has put more in you than you have yet exercised. God has put more in you than you have yet experienced. When we come into right relationship with Christ, Jesus promises that we receive the Holy Spirit. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is at work and living within us. There is more in you than you have yet exercised. There's this supernatural love in you because the Spirit of God is at work in you. This is really good stuff. And it's one of the reasons I think Christian marriages who really fall under the lordship of Christ and survive things that other marriages can't, because the love they share is not just a love that they have within themselves. There is more in them than they've ever exercised. And there's a balancing act between these things, right? Between knowing God, between discovering and growing and more, and also practically living out what it is that God has in us. We can learn more about the unsearchable ways of God, and yet we still have to live out faith on a daily routine. We still have to work out our salvation. We still have to serve and love and be the hands and feet of Christ. So there is more in God, and there is more that He has for us. There is always more. And it doesn't come quickly often. It comes through many breakthroughs that we discover the more that God has for us. We're going to pick up the story of Ryan, now sitting in jail. He had much time to think that he didn't want to be there. And he came to realize and get a picture for more that God had for him. Let's check out the next part of Ryan's story.
Well, obviously, when you're celebrating your 22nd birthday in jail and you have an awful lot of time on your hands, it's not a high point in life, but a couple important things happened for you. One of them was completing high school. Tell me about that. And I think it was during that time that you got a sense of a vision, a hope to be a police officer. Talk about that.
Yeah, when I went to jail, I got my GED.
Okay.
At the time.
The NGED is the...
A good enough diploma.
Which is really completely...
No, it's a general education.
Okay. Diploma. It's like getting your high school equivalent.
Exactly.
Okay, so good for you. You completed high school.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. While I was incarcerated, I got an itch for the law enforcement. It really opened my eyes, and that's something I wanted to do because people who are in jail, they're not all bad people. They just make bad decisions. And even though I was there, I've always been somebody who likes to help people. I mean, anytime somebody asks me for help, you know, they usually ask me first because they know I'll say yes. That's probably why they do it. But I like to help people, and I seen how the people who work there were helping us and just interacting with us, and I thought, hey, that's something I'd really like to do, and I could do something like that. So
going into jail is the inspiration to dream about being a police officer someday.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Well, I was surrounded by officers, so they kind of rubbed off on me, I guess.
Yeah. So you get out of jail, and you become responsible, as they say. You get a job. You meet a great gal, which is awesome. Stephanie's a great gal.
She is awesome.
I got to perform your ceremony. You were 24 years old. Yeah. But in that process, you still had the itch to become an officer. Tell me about that.
I got out of jail, like you said. I was working a bunch of dead-end jobs. I mean, you know, it's something that I couldn't do for the rest of my life. And I knew that there was... That's what I was doing at the time wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I knew there was something more for me to do. And it just got to the point where I decided to take a chance, go back to school with the approval of my wife. I entertained to her, you know, what do you think about me going back to school and becoming a police officer?
So Ryan's at a low point. Probably one of the lower points. Not many of us have been incarcerated in life. He's in the middle of a breakdown, in the middle of a situation he doesn't want to be in, and he starts to realize that there might be something more that God has for him than just that. He said he was surrounded by police officers. Isn't it interesting he was also surrounded by criminals? There's more. There's more that God had for Ryan, and he began to realize and see a picture of what it could look like. There's more for you, too, in the midst of breakdowns in life, in the midst of breakdowns in family, in character, in finances, in our homes, in relationships. There is more that God has for those things. And we have the choice, to some degree, to seek the more. We can choose not to. Ryan could have chose not to, but he chose to. He chose to seek the more that God had for him. So first, really, there is always more. The second thing that Paul seems to say is we have to always forget. He says, forgetting what is behind. This is hard for us. If we take the image of a runner again, have you ever seen, and I always picture the Olympics usually, where they're running down the track and it's so pristine. Have you ever seen one of those runners running down the track and then turn around and look back at the runners behind him? Or look back and see the track he just covered? I've never seen that. And I think if they did, they'd probably start stumbling. They'd probably get out of the lines. They'd probably watch someone else overtake them because they weren't focused on what was ahead. They were focused on what was behind. Paul says, I have to forget what's behind me. Paul has some bad things in his past, but Paul also has some successes. And he says, forgetting all of that, I look ahead. It's that image of a runner continually focused and not looking back. And we can struggle to not let the past weigh us down. In fact, it's such a huge thing in our lives, I think, that we're going to talk about it next week in a lot more detail. But we struggle to forget. We struggle to forget. A situation, to illustrate, happens for Ryan as he continues his path to becoming a police officer, where he's faced with a choice and a potential decision to choose to forget or to choose to move forward. It's a pretty funny, fascinating to me situation. So let's check that out.
Now, Ryan, one of the stories I love, while you're in the academy, almost to the end, you have a circumstance that people dream of. It sounds like movies. It actually happened to you. You happened upon an arrest process, and you're just a citizen. Tell me how this unfolded.
Not just a citizen, a maintenance man.
A maintenance man.
I was working at the time, and orchestrated takedown happened right next to me. Cops came from every direction. One in front of me stopped me from going where I was, so I'm sitting in the middle of the road. They had stopped a van, and I'm sitting there watching all this happen. Next thing I know, the suspect takes off running from the van across division, and he starts running. I'm watching this.
Oh my, like, that's crazy.
Like, I'm waiting to be punked or something. Like, you know, because it was weird. So I see him take off, and he was gaining some distance. He was putting some distance between him and the officers. And so I'm sitting there like, what do I do? Do I just sit here and watch him go by, or do I do what I want to do and just get out? And
so he ran by you? Help him?
Yeah, he was probably, you know, 20 okay. yards off.
If not, so you could open your door and drop him.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. I'm sorry. I'm in the movies. Keep going.
Right. So, yeah, I was faced with a decision. Put the van in park, opened the door, got out. After a short chase, I tackled him and kind of just held him down until the other cops could get there and put him in handcuffs. And it was surreal. It was
Citizen Officer Myers on the scene.
And that happened 2 hours before I was due at GRPD for defensive tactics.
Oh, that's awesome, Ryan. And this ended up in some accolades for you.
Yeah, yep. About a month after that, the chief of police, Chief Belk of the GRPD, gave me a letter of recommendation. You know, some recognition. A few of the undercover officers that were there that day came and they thanked me again. And
that's like divine providence, God laying something out for you to have.
That's how I see it. That's how I see it. The timing was impeccable.
Come on, man. That is so good.
So you're Ryan. You're in the car. You're on your way toward this thing that God seems like he's calling you to. He's taking you out of prison. You've started to pursue it. You're seeking the more. And this situation happens right in front of you. And you have a choice at that moment, don't you? Do you stay in the car? I'm no better than him. I've been there. Who am I? Who am I to take this guy down? I've been in jail. I have a rough past. Or do you start to step into what it is that God has? Ryan says, I need to step forward and step out in faith. And this is my career. This is what I'm going to do. I got to move forward. Always forget. So many of us don't get out of the car, right? We don't get out of the car. God has orchestrated moments in our life for us to step forward into the more he has, and we sit in the car and we just watch. Who am I to do that thing? Who am I? Do you know my past? Do you know all that's happened to me? Who am I to get out of the car? We let our past define us. And Paul is saying, forgetting all of that, I put it behind me and I strain forward for the more that God has, which really leads us to the final point. There's always more, so we always have to forget so we can always move forward. Always forward. Just listen again to Philippians 3 in this part. It just says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Paul's saying no matter the area of our life, because if we're following Christ, every area of our life is spiritual. Our finances, our job, our families, our character, our attitudes, all of it is under the lordship of Christ. And so in every area of life, I continue to strain forward for all that God has for me. I continue to seek the more that God has. God has breakthroughs for us and more for us, but we have to continue to seek them. As Paul would say, forgetting what is behind us and straining toward those things that God has in front of us. Really, they turn into celebration moments as we go through them. As we continue to seek more, to forget, and to go forward, we start seeing in our past moments when God actually did come through on those things. We look back and say, these are moments I can see God orchestrating things, and I was able to step into them. That's how Ryan's story ends. A look back at how he was always, from that moment, God gave him a vision for more moving forward, and eventually led him to moments of looking back and celebrating that God had brought him into more, that he had continued to push forward. So let's watch just the end of his story.
So you work through some breakdowns. You negotiate 3 years with the associate's degree in the academy, and you finally apply for a job, and obviously you get it, but there's more to the story, more than you applied for the job. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was the first job that I applied for, and there was 217 applicants, give or take 10, and within a month of my interview, I got a conditional offer. It's,
wow.
It's still just unbelievable. I didn't think that stuff like that, I didn't think stuff like that happened to people like me with a past like that. And that was the one thing that my past was keeping me, was this the demon, so to speak, in my mind that was saying, you know, you can't do this or whatever. But it all worked out. I couldn't believe that. I wasn't even done with the academy, and I got the conditional offer, so.
And now, are you, like, sworn in? I mean, like, are you police officer?
Full-fledged officer of the law, officer.
Do I have to call you Officer Ryan Myers?
I like that, yeah, yeah. I think you should.
Then you have to call me Reverend. I can't even say that with a straight face.
I love the line that he said. I didn't know people with my past could have this kind of option in the future. God's in the business of doing that stuff. He's in the business of taking people that have no business being where they are and taking them there. Because he has more. But we have to learn to forget what's been in our past. We have to trust him and keep moving forward. I think there were moments along Ryan's path, I would imagine, that were tough. I imagine in those years it took him to get his degrees, in the time he was looking to apply for a job, realizing there were hundreds of applicants, there were lots of moments I think he could have quit. But he just kept straining forward for the picture that God had given him of more for his life. We can look at life so frequently and say, look at all of the breakdowns in my life. And I think God just says, but I have breakthroughs for you. I have breakthroughs for you. Keep moving forward. Strain toward what is ahead. Press on. I believe no matter where you are with all my heart that for each person in this room, no matter your age or stage in life, God has more for you. Maybe it's this week or this month or this year or in multiple years. In your spiritual life or in your home or with your family or your friends or with your career, that God has more. So maybe the question this morning is, are you where you want to be? Ryan at the very beginning said, this wasn't where I wanted to be. Are you where you want to be in your spiritual life? Are you where you want to be with your family? Are you where you want to be in your career? There's no better time to start to trust God for the more he has for you than the month we make all of our resolutions. There's always more. There's more of God, and there's more he's placed in you. He has more for you. We have to learn to forget. We're going to talk about that more next week, what's behind. And we have to continue to move forward into all he's leading us into. That's my prayer for you as we start this new year. Let's pray together. Father, these words are challenging because it presses us forward. It doesn't allow us to sit in the car. It doesn't allow us to say, I can't because you have given us more. There is so much more of you for us to come to know. There is so much more in us that you have placed there, capacities and abilities that we have yet to even partially realize because they just haven't been exercised yet. Will you help us to see that there is more, to get a picture and a vision of what it might be so that we can start to lean forward into it, so we can start that always forward momentum, that pressing on, that straining toward what is ahead? And will you help us not to be dragged down by the things in the past that would want to hold us back? God, I love that Paul encourages us with this metaphor of a race and a runner. Help us to be in our spiritual lives, trusting you like a runner, to just be pursuing you all out, to not be looking back, to be focused on what's ahead. God, I trust that for each of these here today and for my life as well. We love you. We're so thankful for you and for all you've done for us. We pray it in the name of Christ, who gives us the strength. Amen.